gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John the Lobster. We all float down here. This is Legends of Halloween, coming at you on Halloween with it.
Can I be honest?
Go on.
As someone who grew up with the miniseries.
That scared the bejeebus out of you, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. Like the shower scene in that one. I have nightmares of that still. Not really, but I should have seen. I should have seen the fucking two-part movie coming. I should have.
Well, of course, this is a part with the kid. Then we're going to get the part with the adults.
Right.
Well, I wish they would have done the Lord of the Rings Hobbit type deal.
And film them
right away
together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh no. The thing is that have you seen the Stephen King return at some point? You remember the Dark Towers and all that stuff,
right?
Mm-hmm. So they were not ready to invest that much.
No.
The other thing is that once they got all the following for it, they were able to get James McAvoy.
Right. They got a very, very good cast for part two. And we'll talk about them in a little bit.
And Andy Muschietti's getting paid this time.
I think it's really important to remember with this one that this movie was in development hell. This was originally another director. Then they got Cary Fukunaga, who spent a long time developing it and cast the entire movie, including Will Poulter as Pennywise, and then dropped out. So then they started over again with another director who we got, Andy Muschietti, and this was not a guaranteed thing. Like you said, I guess
this did help pop the Stephen King
balloon, red balloon.
Revitalization.
Now everybody wants that.
Now there are 99 red balloons all in the air.
Oh my God, stop it.
But, I mean, I feel like this movie was the proof of concept, and it's almost like the, like, this is the low budget one that we're going to make, because this was only $35 million.
I hope it's not shit, though, because, you know, let's give them money. Man.
No. Wait. The guy, that's one of the reasons why they didn't do them back to back, because it was like, I need kind of double the money to do the other one. If you read the book, yeah, you kind of do. So,
okay.
By doing this and being the huge, huge hit that it was, at this point, they're able to keep going with his vision, and the script was already written. So they're not changing that. The reason why it took long is because, again, I go back to Andy Muschietti wanted to get paid because last time he worked for peanuts.
Right.
So
this, when we say it was a big hit, it made $700 million. It is the highest grossing horror movie of all time currently.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah. So it is a hit. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I don't even think Halloween is going to come close. Like, and Halloween is doing very well.
It's not coming close. This was a surprise. And before, we're in a horror sense right now.
It had that nostalgia, though. We're into that. We're into that revitalize of the '80s because of Stranger Things, and the kid from Stranger Things is in it. The actors are great. There's all that nostalgia for the '80s, and then the horror, and then so this is all coming back for a reason. But it's so many people. Whether you read the book or saw the one from the '90s or whenever that one was on, you needed to at least go check this out.
That was interesting in our house because Shark Tacko has never read the book, never seen the series. That was her first exposure
really
to whatever it was. So me knowing exactly where it was going was really fun to see what she was looking in. And at the same time, I was looking, okay, they cut that, they cut this. They made a great job, by the way, to keep the essential. So that was fun to see that she was reacting where she should react, basically, and all that. So she had a good time.
I will say, Beef mentioned this came, the original miniseries was sometime in the 90s. It actually came out in 1990, which means that the sequel came 27 years after, or the remake came 27 years after the original. As we know from the lore presented in the movie, Pennywise wakes up every 27 years.
That makes it much cooler.
Yeah.
That's a nice trivia that's going to be in a Trivial Pursuit at some point for sure.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Luckily, we won't have to wait 27 years to get part two. It's coming out next fall, so that's good.
They took their time, 2 years. They already had a script, but they, like we said earlier, they're casting like crazy. And these kids were so good. If there was an Oscar for casting director, that's probably where it would have gone. But you have to go get excellent actor because these kids are just crazy good, and you almost don't need any other star in this.
No,
but you do. You have Bill Skarsgård. You have Pennywise himself,
which is creepy as sin.
He's got some pretty big shoes to fill stepping in for Tim Curry, is like the undisputed king.
Wait, that was Tim Curry?
Tim Curry was Pennywise in the miniseries,
in the old days.
So, I mean, again, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and the clown shoes kid are actors, big, so.
The biggest name kid actor was the kid from the Netflix thing.
Stranger Things.
Finn Wolfhard, you mean?
I mean, it was, and other than that, they were all unknowns, I thought, and they all carried it well. Even the bully kids, they got the bullying of the 80s right. I mean,
that was fun.
They get the mullets down.
And they get it's that kinda, as an insult, too.
Go blow your dad, you mullet-wearing asshole.
That's a great insult. I'm just saying.
I feel like this caps off our Legends of Halloween, because we started in the 80s with Lost Boys, and then we had Beetlejuice, which came out the same year that this is set. And I just feel like there's this nice continuum that leads us up to this movie being our closer.
Yeah, but if I want, I can say something that's going to sound really weird. In the 80s, we were trying too much. I think we're doing the 80s way better now than we were doing them in the 80s, because we were trying to impress from the 80s point of view, as now we're just trying to make it as it used to look.
Right.
So, and
another interesting thing is that in the novel, it's set in the 80s for the grown-up period, but it flashes back to the 1950s. Whereas this is doing the reverse, which is the 80s is the past, and it's going to be set in present day, presumably chapter two.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a nice way to put it, too.
So then you wonder, will there be a few updates in the storytelling? Obviously, in the 80s, they have walkie-talkies, but not cell phones.
Yeah, well, you can play with this, but if I remember the story correctly, you could put cell phones everywhere. That wouldn't change the story, as a lot of movies these days would. Yep. Because
Gary Maine still has crappy cell coverage.
Yeah, there you go. But if you're in Speed and everybody has a cell phone, you don't have a movie, you know?
Can you hear me now? We all float down here.
Oh, dear goddess. That was creepy.
So creepy. The opening scene of this film is amazing. Now, the trailer, I feel, spoils it a little bit, but it's so well done.
Oh, he rips his arm off.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't spoil that, but certainly it's terrifying.
That tells
terrifying.
You right away that they're serious.
They just bit the kid's arm off.
And then he's like, you know, 8 feet away from the curb, and the hand just
the hand comes out,
drags him. Oh, creepy. Creepy, creepy, creepy. But they did get all the essentials from what I remember as the miniseries or whatever. Right. And the couple times I tried to read the book and got scared when I was younger. Maybe old enough to revisit it.
He wakes up every 27 or 30 years. Every time he wakes up, there's like a rash of violent incidents that kind of accompany that.
Mostly child stuff, though, right? Murders and...
Well, so, like, there's other stuff that happens kind of around him, like the bully who murders his dad.
True.
And the girl's father who's, like, super violent. Kill like, that him. All kind of happens, too. Yeah.
Yeah, but if I remember, there's also a connection that something happened 27 years ago, and these parents were kids who got traumatized because of their Pennywise adventure. So you have that old, that 27 years is a generation, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
the cyclical thing.
The her dad, I think, was just a fucking creeper.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, a pedophile asshole. Yeah, yes.
Pedophile and child molester and shit. I don't think any, he wasn't, I mean, he maybe dealt with Pennywise back in the day, but I don't think that had anything to do with him being extra fucking Twiggy right now.
Right.
Well, you haven't, have you read the book? Have you read part two?
He just said he was terrified by it. He couldn't get through it.
Because this movie is all about fears that you have when you're kids.
Yeah.
The next one is all about fears you have when you're adult. And then right. you'll make the connection between what I'm saying.
Pennywise is also connected to Derry's past.
I love that.
And they do something interesting in this movie, which is they dress him in this kind of old-timey clown costume.
Burnt
almost
slightly.
Like, yeah, like Elizabethan era, which is kind of cool. And yeah, it is like singed.
Yeah, because it's like, wasn't he supposed to be 1908? Wasn't he in the background of the drawings and shit?
Right, right. And then also he feeds off of fear. And so kind of over the period, it's like salting the meat. So he doesn't kill the kids right away. He kind of like terrifies them repeatedly and then gnaws on them when he gets hungry.
Makes sense. I mean, you want to marinate your food before you eat
it. Yeah, absolutely. I like a tender meat, and veal is the most tender.
Some of the favorite scenes are, I mean, they're actually really creepy but well shot, are when the kids go back into the house and they have the shared kind of nightmare. You know, a couple of them in each room, and they're going to find Pennywise.
Right.
And yeah, it's, I don't know, it's pretty good when he takes that fire poker right in the eye hole.
Yep.
Yeah, that's something. The bully kid, though, once he kills his father, man, okay, you have the little confrontation, but the way he falls through that pit, oh my god.
Bounces around.
Oh, that hurt. And I was happy for him to die, but that hurt.
I love the new kids on the block stuff between Beverly and what's his face?
Green.
As a fan, as someone who was maybe not, maybe a fan.
Is that
I was a little fat beef back then too. So
Ben is the
Henry
kiddo.
Who know? Henry is going to carve his name. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yep. Yes. Ben. I believe. I'm sorry.
Oh, that sucks.
The over.
What did they say? This kid's leaking hamburger helper.
Yeah, the overbearing mother.
Yes.
Oh my God, I knew a few of those.
Yep. Come here, give mommy a kiss.
Oh God.
No, she's but something. I mean, like the here's all of your placebos. Don't touch right. anything out there, especially not fresh cut grass.
Yep.
You want me to sign your
loser
your cast? Yeah. That was well paid off, because they don't actually show it to you that much. They just show it to you when he's trying to make it lover.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
So it's, this movie is so well written in the fact that, and I'm not just talking about the lines, they convey so much with so little with the characters,
right.
And that's how they're able to circumvent a lot of the book, because in one scene, they tell you most of what you need to know about all these guys, these characters,
it's
one after
the
other.
It's in my other fanny pack.
Yeah. So all these little things work super well. There's a genius, right? Writing work on this.
This script went through a number of different versions, but I think it's interesting that you're right. You are taking this source material from Stephen King, you're updating it, you're tweaking it, you're getting at what the heart of each character kind of is. And obviously, you know, we're going to see them all grown up in the next installment, but you kind of enjoy this time that you get to spend.
Did you know? Well, there's going to be flashbacks too with kid scenes. Did you know that clearly it was going to be Chekhov's animal killer? Chekhov's animal spike?
Yeah.
The first time I watched it with my girlfriend.
No country for old clowns?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I love it.
As soon as we started watching it the first time with my girlfriend, I'm like, I think that was the first time I was like, it's Chekhov's spike. She's like, what? I was like, yeah, it's this thing.
Check out.
I didn't think he was gonna use it on Little Georgie though. That was tough. That was tough to watch.
Yeah, well, he had to defeat his inner demon, otherwise.
Yeah. Well, he has to accept grief, basically. The two things they're doing in there is that they're confronting their fear, but also the movie gives you all the stages of grief, one after the others. So he gets to acceptance at the end.
Yeah. It's deep, man.
It's well written.
It's well written, and it takes place in a well. It's a hole in the ground. It's deep.
No, that's a nice little movie. That's a very nice little movie.
And it certainly connected with audiences. They loved it. They went back. I think, obviously, it came out around Halloween last year. It came out in the fall, so it definitely had that timing lined up with that.
It was a gamble to a release in September. You like to play the box office game. You know a September release is never a sure thing.
Well, I think studios are learning that they get more mileage out of opening earlier and having less competition, because November, you really get into the holiday movie season. But if you release in early October, late September, you can kind of milk it for a few weekends.
Yeah, but you need to have a very good movie, or if you don't, you get The Predator.
The Predator? Or
Predator.
Or you get Venom, which opened to huge numbers and has done well. Or you get Halloween, which also opened very well and continues to do well.
Yeah, both almost 80.
Yep.
Yeah, but this is a record October. October is not done yet, but in 2014, the record was $780 million. They already beat that. So it's just a question to know how much. This is one of the best October we've ever had.
Yeah, it is good.
It's the best October we've ever had. It's plain simple. So,
well, we'll get to look forward to It Chapter 2. September 6th, 2019, it will star James McAvoy as Bill, Bill Hader as Richie, Jessica Chastain as Beverly, James Ransone as Eddie, Andy Bean as Stan, Isaiah Mustafa, he of the Old Spice commercials, as Mike, and Jay Ryan as Ben, and of course, Bill Skarsgård, who you can also check out on Castle Rock, not doing a Pennywise smile, but being also super creepy, will return, and the younger actors will cameo as well. So I think that is definitely something to look forward to.
It's going to be fun.
Will it break the record of the first part? We shall see.
I think it probably will. Usually it's when your first movie is really good, your second movie usually makes more money, even if it's not as good. Example,
it'll be front loaded.
Yeah. There you go. So if your second movie sucks, that's where your franchise starts to go down. But if your second movie is good, then you get something. The thing is that after the second movie, they're done. So, ouch.
Well, I think that's okay because
they could go to the future, man.
Well, Stephen King, as we said, is experiencing a bit of a renaissance. The Dark Tower aside, we have Castle Rock, we have Pet Sematary, we have other properties kind of in development. And there's an opportunity to develop a Stephen King multiverse that the It storyline ties directly into, because it connects to the macroverse and the Deadlights and all of that.
Yeah, the problem is that all those licenses are all in different studios.
Right. But there's the opportunity that somebody who's got some vision can do some fun things. I think where Castle Rock is particularly strong is that they've been able to tie into all of that without being super explicit. And, you know, they'll reference The Shining, they'll reference The Dead Zone, they'll reference Shawshank, but at the same time, it's a different thing.
Cool.
All right, so this is Legends of Halloween, you guys. We have really had a good month, I think.
I think so. It's been a lot of fun. Farting around with
like
other movies.
Horror movie, I can't wait every year to just be done with October.
Oh, stop it.
Did you?
Then
did
we
you
get to November. Come on.
Did you by any chance get to check out Mandy? I know you weren't on the cast.
Oh, dear God. I tried 3 times, and I kept falling asleep. This is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
If you didn't make it all the way through, I don't know if you can say that.
Yeah, well, I didn't, because after the first half hour of artistic bullshit, I kept falling asleep.
Sad.
It was pretty artsy, but it did get really good at the end.
Yeah, it does get really good. Well, you will have to keep that to revisit for you, Wing.
Oh, great.
Maybe if you lose a bet or something, you'll have to watch Mandy.
Can I just watch the last half hour?
No, the whole last hour. The last half is where you
have to... You need the whole thing. I really think you need the whole thing.
You kind of do, even if you do 3 sittings, Wing, we'll give you that. All right,
yeah,
should
exactly.
We rate this puppy?
It's like It. Are you just going to watch chapter 2 of It? Will you not go back and watch chapter 1?
You could.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, so should we rate this pig?
I think we should.
Wing, for 2017's It, are you going legendary?
King of Halloween.
Legend of its time.
Floats to the top.
Cult legend.
Curried favor.
Awesome.
Circus Maximus.
Entertaining.
Stranger Things.
Mabel.
Sewer Dweller.
Forgettable.
Losers Club.
Abysmal.
Derriere.
Spring Breakers Highlander D&D.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Hey, I love this movie.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears, so do I.
With a side of development hell and 80s nostalgia.
Yeah, I guess that with time this is going to become legendary at some point, but for now I'm going to give it... That was entertaining. I mean, I'm not a fan of horror movie, and I've read the book, so usually that's something I don't like, because you get all the rest. But they did a great job. This is like I said during the cast, I only had praise for this, and I'm pretty sure that in a couple of years this is going to be one of the big legendary moments in cinema. But for now, we don't know. It's all going to hinge on part 2. If not, it's going to become a Matrix thing. So for now, I'm going to give it a very solid entertaining. Beef.
I hate agreeing with you. I got to go with Stranger Things as well. It is a lot of fun. This is my second time watching it. I was a little bit more engaged the second time because I was looking for all the smaller stuff in the back. And it's a good movie. It's fun. It is entertaining. It's got some scares. It's got some jumps. If you are a fan of the book or of the 90s thing, you should like this at least a bit and find it enjoyable. Skarsgård is creepy as shit, and all the kids are phenomenal actors. So, yeah. Stranger Things, with a side of development of hell and 80s nostalgia. Lobster.
I'm going to go a notch up and give this a Circus Maximus, because this movie, I think, proves that you can update Stephen King's stories to, we'll call this modern times, because the sequel will be
correct
set in modern times, without losing the core of what makes Stephen King works great, which are the characterizations. I think we've had a string of failures in the Stephen King adaptation world, but I think that is turning around with It. I think It has kind of turned the tide. And I think it just means you have to connect the right creators with the properties that they're able to develop. Now, an interesting bit of trivia is that the Duffer brothers, who were behind Stranger Things, originally pitched an It movie and were turned down by the studios because they didn't have enough experience. And so they went ahead and made Stranger Things
instead.
Which
is the same thing, basically.
Right, which is, again, tapping into all of that stuff. And I feel like that has now set the template for what these movies can do. Like, literally set the typeface, as we commented on the Pet Sematary trailer a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really think we're going to see some good stuff come from this. I loved Castle Rock. I thought that was fantastic. I'm looking forward to more of that. I'm looking forward to It Chapter 2 to see where this goes. And if it leaves the door open for more, I think that would be fun.
All right, fellas, last word on It.
Balloon.
Float.
It does not smell like caca, senor.
Nice.
I love that. Beef, what time is it?
News time.
All right. As we said, the news is Halloween, staying at number one for its second week. Halloween stayed in first place with 31 million. As we kind of predicted, A Star is Born has some fantastic staying power, only dropping 26%. Venom still hanging out at number three, and Goosebumps in fourth place. New release, Hunter Killer, dropped with 6.6 million. And then we've got a number of smaller films.
What is Hunter Killer? Is that...
It's Gerard Gary Butler, yeah. Oldman and Gerard Butler. Isn't and they like open a at $6 million. Or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's something. But the rest
underwater.
Is playing basically like we thought. The Star is Born as good word of mouth, but right. It opened against Venom, so nobody cared at first. But now that everybody says it's good, everybody wants to see it. So they're making the long game. They're doing the long game instead of doing the opening.
It's this year's La La Land, while First Man kind of keeps dropping.
Yeah, that's true. That's a little bit too bad, but the big season is starting, so we'll see what November brings us.
So it didn't quite make the top 10, but apparently Johnny English Reborn is doing...
Stop it.
Or Johnny English Strikes Again or something like that.
The third one.
Yeah, the third one is doing really well overseas. It hasn't opened wide here yet, but...
Yeah, but that's something that's made for Europe, so that we'll see if it translates here, but the first two installments did not translate that well,
right.
So we'll see.
So we've got some interesting news. One is that a Clueless movie remake is in the works.
Who cares?
Why?
I mean, I guess it's like 30 years after, so they could show different, you know, uh-huh. Valley Girls or whatever, but
sure.
That's the cliche is the movie.
Right.
Clueless was a product of the 90s. The only interesting thing, give me these characters 30 years later. The only problem is that you can't really cast Brittany Murphy, and that other actresses can't be cast anymore because she retired from acting for mental issues. So, you know, that's the only thing that I can see, but you would need to make this a very, very big product of the 2020s, probably. Uh-huh. To make this relevant, and right. I'm seeing this more as the vacation reboot.
Right. I would say that if they wanted to do a remake of Clueless, they should get the team from American Vandal, which Netflix just canceled.
Assholes.
Because if you want a really good representation of the current teen generation, I think that American Vandal is it. Beef, I know that you watch both seasons. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm on board. I'm really sad because I heard about this. It was in my queue for a while, and finally I watched it, and as soon as I'm like a fan and I'm championing it to everybody, it gets shit on.
Yeah.
I love documentaries. I totally love them, and this was like a fun rip on documentaries, and it's the crime drama, and it's the all, like you're saying, it's the lens on teens and kids nowadays, and social media, and how they solve these crimes is like certain people's like tweets and video. It's so good. I don't know.
Snapchats.
Yeah, it's worth your 10 episodes, 8 episodes. I mean,
it's really worth it.
Yeah,
it really is.
The production value is fucking phenomenal too.
It is super good. I understand that the producers are shopping it around, so I would really love to see it get picked up unironically by YouTube Red or something like that to do it as an exclusive series. Would be a lot of fun.
Oh, that would be even a good home for that, YouTube Red. That's
even
yeah,
what
nice
you call it, Amazon Prime. They're buying everything.
Yeah, but Amazon Prime is doing a huge 180 right now, and they're trying to do the Netflix blockbuster-y thing instead of doing the more underground thing that they've been doing for the last couple of years. So that doesn't fit with their old rebranding.
Yeah, people need different stuff, though. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but they've done that for years, so they have a lot of that. So they're trying to add something different. You know? I'm not saying I agree. I'm just saying that's what they're doing.
I would say that, like, if YouTube could grab it, like, that would be a coup for them, because I think that would be, like, the ideal home for it. But anyway, another thing with streaming is we are seeing the birth and now death of a lot of exclusive streaming services. So Filmstruck, the art house streaming home of the Criterion Collection, along with a big chunk of the Warner archive, will be shutting down next month.
Wow.
Did you guys see this coming?
Yeah. I never even heard of this, but...
Exactly. That's why you see that coming. The Criterion, in the days of DVD, and I'm sure that Lobster is going to back me up, these were the crown jewel of DVD. You had hours of documentary. They were actually going far and beyond what you could expect, but you were paying, what, $80 for two disc DVD? I have eight and a half from Fellini here, and I think I paid that $150 in the days. So... the fact that they made it streaming thing is great, but that's so niche. You can't maintain that to a decent price. That's the problem. They're going to have to go with something like Hulu and Netflix.
Well, it used to be a part of Hulu. That's kind of the interesting thing, is it used to be bundled in with Hulu, and you could get the Criterion movies on Hulu. Some of them you had to pay extra for, and some of them were kind of included with your Hulu subscription. But... they said, well, let's spin that off. Let's do Filmstruck and make it its own thing. And then it flopped.
There you go. That's what's happening to a lot of people right now. They're trying to see what's working. Look at CBS All Access right now. They're just like, oh, okay, we're the Star Trek thing. We need to pump out more Star Trek fast. And that's what's
going to get people on board.
Yeah,
these things are going to die so fast. Like, everyone's jumping to do their own thing. But
and
some of them are... the ones that are surviving are going to become juggernaut. The other ones are all going to die.
And how sad would you be if you sold off all your Criterion discs because you subscribed for Filmstruck?
God, I would be very... I don't have a lot of them, but I really cherish the one I have.
I mean, it just goes to show that streaming cannot replace the reliability of physical media. So I caution all our listeners, if you're thinking of paring down your physical media collection, streaming's great because it's convenience, but if you want the guarantee that you'll always have it or have access to it, hang on to that disc, man.
But I think if you buy like video on demand and shit like that, I think, hopefully, unless Amazon crumbles and shit like that.
License rights will change.
Yeah, you're just licensing it for the time they have the license.
Own the movie.
You know the agreement we all don't read?
Read the fine print.
Read the fine print.
Yeah.
Basically, iTunes tomorrow can delete your whole music store by saying, okay, we're out of the music business, so we don't want anything to do. Everything you bought, you think that you own, you don't anymore.
Yeah.
What?
Yep. That's why people were reticent at first, and we all got in. But if you look at the fine print, you're just having a license from a license, basically.
So. I'm sad.
Again,
now.
I would say that you don't own it unless it's in your hands.
I'm sad now.
Well, just
I still
keep
own
that
a lot of
mind.
Discs. I'm just saying I don't buy many on disc anymore.
Right, and again, I think it's a. It's a how much does it mean to you kind of thing. Like, if it really means a lot to you, and there are movies that I own on disc that mean a lot to me, and it's important to me to have access to that because they're tough to find. You know, even some TV shows collections that I own, like, you're not going to find that anywhere on streaming. Not to buy, not to rent, nothing. So I hang on to those.
My Birds of Prey DVD collection, you can't find that anywhere. Well, you can now, but on DC Universe Access, but how long is that going to be up?
You can now for now.
Yeah, that's it. How long that's going to be up?
Yeah.
Stop making me sad, you fuckers.
Yeah, Titans is great, by the way. If any of you watch Titans, it's great.
One more thing that will make you sad before we jump into trailers is Panos Cosmatos, who directed Mandy, has a great idea for the Mandy sequel, but probably won't use it. Do we want to spoil this for Wing and say what it is?
No. No, I mean, he can read
it. I don't care.
Okay, fine, whatever.
I'm just going to say Nazi punks must die.
I could dig it.
Yeah, me too. But man, do we have some great trailers this week. Holy crap. Clara's Ghost from Bridie Elliott and basically the entire Elliott family. Like, what is this movie?
I don't even know.
I don't know, but it's released in theater one day and then DVD the next day. So I'm like, okay. You don't believe in putting this movie in theater.
It looks like a made-for-TV, early 90s sort of movie.
Yep.
And it looks fantastic. Like, just amazing.
I don't know if I'd say amazing. It looks pretty
amazingly
bad.
Terrible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I still probably wouldn't go see it.
Do either of you watch Schitt's Creek at all?
No.
No.
Do you know what Schitt's Creek is?
I go up it without a paddle.
Okay. So it's a Canadian show, which made me think maybe the Canadians.
Oh, okay.
I don't watch TV from here. You guys know that.
But it has Chris Elliott in it, and it kind of makes me miss the days of good Chris Elliott
when he was kind of good.
Cabin Boy?
Maybe. Maybe.
But
he
when
was
I
good
return, I shall be a cabin man. These pipes are
These
clean.
These pipes are clean. I think that's all I remember from the movie.
Yeah. But this also has Bridie Elliott, Abby Elliott, and I think in her first acting role, Mrs. Elliott. I don't know
if he was.
No, I don't know.
No, I meant.
I might be misremembering.
No, I meant, I don't know if he's like. Every time I see him in something, I don't know if I should take it seriously or not.
Right.
Because I'm always like, this is going to be a comedy, right?
You should not take it seriously if you see him.
Okay. What about the next one?
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel Season 2. Again, I don't know if I'm preaching to the choir here or you guys haven't watched Maisel Season 1, but holy crap, it's good.
No, I haven't had time yet.
And this trailer basically shoves into your face the fact that it won like a bazillion Emmys and Golden Globes and shit. And basically, why the fuck aren't you watching this?
What is it about again?
It's 1950s housewife becomes stand-up comedian.
Oh, okay.
Her husband leaves her. And she's like, well, I'm going to be a stand-up comedian, and it's awesome. And Lenny Bruce is in it, and it's great.
But it is good, the first season?
It's very good, yes. Hence all the awards it won.
That doesn't mean it's good.
No, it does, because it is.
But you know what I mean? That just because something wins an award, that just means those people like it.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
usually
I mean,
it's
like,
a good indicator
usually
that a lot
give
of people
the awards
likes it.
To like it. Usually they give the awards to like Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones.
Better
so,
Call Saul.
Yeah, they would just throw the show a bone and say, here you go.
I didn't mean... it's not what I meant. I meant from someone that I know and whose opinion that I can trust, namely
yes.
You guys. Okay, thank you.
I like it a lot.
Like it. Like it a lot.
Bird Box.
Who doesn't care about her anymore? What's her name?
Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock?
Yeah.
We love Sandra Bullock.
This is Quiet Place, but...
In reverse.
This.
Don't make a sound, don't open your eyes.
A sightless place. See, I don't know...
Ooh, that was good.
Thanks. I want to see this, but I don't know if I'd go to the theater. I mean, unless it comes back with...
It's a Netflix release,
oh,
so...
Perfect.
You get to watch it on Netflix.
Then I'll be okay with it.
Yeah, I think that's a good deal.
But yeah, I mean, it's a weird concept, but guess what? So was A Quiet Place.
Absolutely. Or as I had the movie described to me, these people didn't fart for over a year. What?
No, you just made sure you did it underground.
You can't fart in a very, very silent way. Come on.
Yes, I can. Silent but deadly.
There you go.
And if not silent, your butt will make you deadly. No, wait. Ooh. Never mind. Sorry.
Bohemian Rhapsody is already number one in the UK.
No
it's going to release here in the States pretty soon. Do you guys have an interest in this film?
Yes, that looks... Okay. I'm curious to see what they did with two director and all that jazz. And some people I know seen it, and they were like, if you like the music from Queen, this is a movie that's very fun, but it's very hopeful. This is not the movie you're expecting about like Freddie Mercury and drugs, sex, and rock and roll. This is more about the music. I was like, oh, okay. Knowing that, I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the family wouldn't let it happen with the drugs and sex in it.
Yep.
not as much so.
Correct.
But I hear good things, but I also hear like, it's best when it focuses on the music and less on the biopic. Like, it's a good behind the music dramatization, basically.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, at least it gives us some basis.
Reign of the Supermen, which is the long-awaited treatment of what happened after the death of Superman, when people kind of gave up on reading.
Yeah, DC kind of has that whole connected cartoon universe right now, animated movies universe, that they're making work really well. For some reason, Marvel's get the movies right now. They have the cartoon and TV. DC. So they just split the market, I guess. So this is just a sequel to the other one. They're okay. They're not great, I think.
So they did Superman Doomsday, right? Yeah. Like, that was a thing?
Yeah, that was a thing.
And then this is the four Supermen, or, you know, you have Steel, the Last Son of Krypton, Superboy, and Cyborg, Man of Tomorrow, Superman?
Yep. All these.
And I forget which one ends up being the real Superman. Is it the one that
Don't give
Shaq?
It away.
No.
It's the one that's Shaq,
it's
right?
It's none of them.
Oh, damn it.
No, he's just not really dead. You know, he's in a black suit regenerating for months. Yeah, but Shaq was actually Steel.
I know he was. So, I know.
This is probably the worst comic book movie of all time.
Steel?
Yep.
I think that should be our 400th episode.
Yeah, we gotta pick that.
How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World.
This looks fun.
Touching me in all the feels already with the trailer. I don't want to say too much about this to give away how much I'm anticipating it.
I feel like the trailer trailer gives way too much away.
It does. There was a reveal in there that I could have saved.
Like
for
three
the movie.
Of them.
Yeah, I agree.
I would say there was one big one that I didn't want to know.
But you're selling this to parents just to tell them you're going to be able to bring your kids there. So
bring your kids and your fucking box of Kleenex. God damn it!
Yeah. So since we all don't have kids, we can't really as much.
Yeah, we can.
We can cry more.
Oh, I can't wait to see the movie. I'm just saying we don't relate to the marketing.
No, that's true.
They just give too much. That's okay.
Marketing, speaking of Star Trek Short Treks, I don't know why I thought we were going to get these closer together, but they're spacing them out by like a month.
Because they need Star Trek stuff on CBS All Access for people to pay for it.
Even though it's only like 15 minutes long?
Do you know Trekkies? No, not Trekkies anymore. They're Trekkers.
We are fucked up, aren't we?
Trekkitos. No, wait, that's the things you get at the little
Mexican
joint.
This one gives us absolutely nothing except that it's 1,000 years
I like that.
From Discovery.
Yeah, he like gets somehow teleported 1,000 years forward and the ship is empty. There's dust everywhere. Are we the only ones here?
Some kind of AI is in charge.
Maybe it's the one from V'ger. Oh, wait. No.
Maybe.
Maybe it's the whale probe.
Maybe it's
more on that later.
Yes, maybe it's a Borg. Yes, Wing, we have to talk about that.
Yeah, so I've seen that. I'm very happy about
Lux.
That.
Lux.
Fox. Yeah, laxative.
Lux.
Wait, a box of. Lux of love? What? What are you talking about? Starbucks Lux of Lax. Lux loves? What?
X-Lax.
I know. So this is with Natalie Portman, and she looks like a crazy cracked out singer.
This is if her and Black Swan and Lady Gaga have a kid who is also Natalie Portman, who goes in like the third stage of her career, basically.
This is Natalie Portman trying to get another Oscar.
And it's going to fucking work, just you watch. If Lady Gaga doesn't actually get the Oscar.
Yeah, that's the thing, eh?
What is Lady Gaga get up for?
Star is Born.
She's in A Star is Born.
Ah. Well, let's see then. I mean, but this last one is something I'm really excited about.
Best for last, my friends. Cold Pursuit. Liam Neeson is a snowplow driver, citizen of the year, and also on the hunt on the revenge.
I have a particular set of skills that I read in a book.
Do you think he still reads the script or just shows up in the morning and look at the lines?
He does,
like,
same
shit.
I think this one is fun, though, because there is a touch of comedic in this. Because in the very beginning, Wing, I was just like you. I saw the thing, Liam Neeson is a snowplow driver for vengeance, and I clicked on it on IO9 or whatever, and I'm like, whatever, I'll give this a watch. And the line they open with is, do you really believe you can kill someone? I read it in a crime novel once or something.
I think the key to this is similar to what I said about Mandy. Wing, I know you weren't on that episode last week, but I said that the way that Mandy succeeds is by making the movie that Nicolas Cage always thinks he's making.
Oh, yeah, God, I don't want to finish this movie, for Christ's sake.
Dude, you need to watch the last half just for that, because it's Nicolas Cage to the 11. Yep.
And I think what Cold Pursuit is going to do well is that it's basically the movie that Liam Neeson always makes, and it just dials it to 11.
I've seen the one where he was on the plane, which was the same thing, where he was an
He kills a guy with a pine tree. Come on.
I want to watch the one with the wolf again. That was pretty good.
The Gray.
That one was fun. I would say that of all this period of his acting work, The Gray is the best.
Yeah, but you cannot argue the point
Paychecks?
Of the first.
No, I can't.
No, that either. But you can't argue the quality of that first one. What was that first one?
Taken. Yes. That was a Europa movie. And then it became like that huge franchise. I was like, oh my God, okay.
Yep.
It's like The Transporter. The first one's great. Anything else they produce after that, crap.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Die Hard.
Stop it.
You know, the first one, he's just a guy who loses his shoes, and at the end, he like jumps a tank over a building or something. I don't know.
No, it's off a collapsing freeway, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I have a theory about Die Hard. As long as John McTiernan is directing them, they're good.
Okay.
What did he do? One and two? The exact
one
same
and three.
Movie?
One
Which
three.
One was three?
The one with Sam Jackson.
Okay, yep, you're right. All right, so thanks, Legends
of
Halloween.
Yeah, that was a good month, you guys. Like, that was...
Except for the guy with the broken fucking ankle, but hey, who cares about my feelings?
And the guy with the multiple
treat.
Migraines, too. October sucked, man.
I bought a house. Trick
congratulations,
or
treat. Bro.
Oh, congratulations. You see, all the positive
guys,
stuff went to him. We got screwed.
You guys got the tricks, I got the treat.
Oh, damn. Wait, I didn't get any tricks. Never mind, different cast.
Oh,
next time,
oh, no.
Legends
oh, no.
Podcast.
Awkward.
Chronovember returns with Looper. Wing,
we have a great month
Wing,
lined up.
I checked the list. We've never actually done Looper on the cast.
Yes, we did. I saw it with you in...
I know, but we never recorded. I could not find it anywhere.
Come on, I swear. Did we got too drunk to record again?
Yeah, I think we might have.
I think
have.
That probably happened.
So we are going actually back to watch Looper again, revisit, if you will,
uh-huh.
if someone has the cast.
That.
Cool. And
you're going to pass yourselves drunkenly watching it the first time.
I love the movie, so I'm good. So.
We're going to go back in time and drink the bottles before they get drunk. Like, we will watch them go down like the guy does as his fingers start getting cut off when he's climbing the... Oh, my God. Looper, that's going to be great.
Yeah, I have to say that I wasn't here for the final choice of Chronovember, but I agree with everything that's on there.
You approve? Okay, good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
On the other
hand, for the third movie, you kind of give the ending by putting it in Chronovember.
Well, we could pick something else, so we'll talk about that in 1 minute after we hang up from here.
No, I love that one. I want to rewatch that
okay.
one. I'm just saying.
Fuck. You're right, we do, though. This has been episode 395 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, wait a minute, didn't we talk about Looper?
I'm John D. Singh. Okay, we're done with the freaking horror movie. Can we get back to my sci-fi time travel stuff? Woo!
And I'm John L. Lobster saying Happy Halloween from Legends Podcast.
That's right, this castle. All right, stop. No, stop. That last one can't go.
One, two. Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com, where you will find all our contact information as well as other shows. You can also visit legendspodcast.com, where you will find our complete archive. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Legend Stream Canada or Gunna Geek. No infringement is intended.